Good morning, everybody. How wonderful it is to continue to use our own church, declared by Dr. Bob Jones Jr., a most beautiful church. So if you want to get married, be sure to get this place. The first word I would like to say is great thanksgiving to our God who has saved us from SARS. He sent this pestilence around the world to tell the people that the world's end is coming soon. Jesus is returning. And all the signs are listed in Matthew 24, when the disciples asked Jesus, "When will be the end of the world and your second coming?" And he said that there will be false Christ and false prophets. And it's a terrible thing to notice that even fundamental churches are giving way. And they deny the Lord. One instance is, last Christmas, a newspaper in England made a survey from 500 Anglican priests, out of which 135 denied the virgin birth. And how can these 135 ministers of the gospel celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Savior? So they just pretend to go with the times. Secondly, there will be wars and rumors of war. And now that terrible war has ended quickly, for which we thank God, but the high-ups there declare that the war is not ended. We don't get the news in our papers, but the BBC reports the killing of at least 6 or 7 American soldiers, together with those that are hurt by hand grenades in Afghanistan. 4 German peacekeepers were also killed by suicide bombers. The times can only get worse and worse. And together with the pestilence that follows SARS, and we have at least 31 who have been dead by the disease. But thank God now we have been declared free. And do we ever thank the Lord for this publicly? Calvin says it's a duty of every pastor when they meet with national disasters to publicly plead for God. And we want to acknowledge our great thanks to the Savior in saving Singapore first. And then together with the pestilences will come the famines. The people whose livelihood has been dislocated, then also suffer economically. The airlines are out of business. I still remember the morning we sent 4 of our students back to Cambodia, and I went to the airport. I couldn't count more than another dozen travelers. Famines. The cabbies do not get business. The restaurants are closed practically. But now they have returned in crowds. Again, we must thank God for this. And then earthquakes. Did you realize that there were 4 earthquakes during the time before and after the Iraq war? Earthquakes in the northwest of China, then followed by Turkey and Algiers, 2,000 have been killed, and finally Japan, near the city Sendai, in North Japan. But once we are released, we forget these signs, and we are not mindful, but forgetful. But Jesus has, in the 4 Gospels, 6 times at least, given the parables. Whether there are signs of Jesus coming or not, but we must be ready any moment. But are we conscious of this? Well, our coming here for our Bible camp that we lose out not going to Mersing, nevertheless, brings quite a good number of you here. And we thank God very much that this may work more grace and that those who could not go are able to come this morning. Now let us look into our text. Remember one thing, the Bible is explained by the Bible. And the Bible never contradicts itself because it is the Word of God. Written by many apostles and prophets during a period of about 1,500 years. There was no cooperation to write the book, each one writing as the Lord moves him. It's the very Word of God. So what we read in James here is in no way contradicting Paul in Romans, in Hebrews, in Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. But justification by faith alone, by Paul, and then by Luther who rediscovered it, is further explained by James. Not the dead faith, but the living faith. What is your faith in the Lord? I thank God He saved me. Can you say, I thank God that He also calls me? And I thank God that He wants me to do certain things for Him. He calls me to be a doctor. And now He wants me to go to Maasai Land. But considering the rigors of Maasai Land, I am sorry, Lord, you call another. That is not living faith. That is a dead faith. So there is no contradiction between Paul and James. James does not approve of the ECT document of 1994 and 1997. What is the ECT document of 1994 and 1997? Is a document of appeasement between evangelicals in America and Roman Catholics. ECT, evangelicals, Roman Catholics together And together in what? In our common doctrine of salvation. My, how wonderful it will be if it can be so done. The Roman Catholics believe in salvation by faith, yes, but individually also by works. So one of their doctrines is, you must work out your salvation. You must do enough of good works in order to go to heaven. When I was in Albania hospital, there came a nun, always to visit me, and I know why. That is part of her accumulation of good works. But this will prove very vividly. Many years ago, I had a converted Roman Catholic priest, Dr. So-and-so. They are very highly educated. And I asked him, why is it you want to become a preacher? He said, well, I was very concerned about my salvation and I wanted to go to heaven. And so I studied to be a priest, and my preaching is in order that I may win my way to heaven. I'm preaching here. I never try to work out my salvation. My preaching good enough in order to go to heaven. My standard of God, according to St. Paul, may be a failure. Yet the Lord has mercy on me. And I'm looking forward to the day when He calls me, that He will surely take me in. Are you sure of that salvation? Whether you are good or bad? How wonderful is our salvation, because Spurgeon says, if the garment of my salvation needs but one stitch from me, I'm lost. Is it declared in Isaiah chapter 64 that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags? I used to discuss with my sister how we could go to heaven. We were living a life nurtured by my grandfather, who was pastor of the church, and we stayed in the church. So the topic of religion was quite often discussed. We arrive at the answer. If we attain 51 marks, we can go to heaven. If we're only 49, we'll go to hell. That was our understanding. Praise the Lord. All our righteousnesses, no matter how good you think, are a duck's egg, Chinese, zero. So James is not preaching a doctrine of contradiction against Paul, but he is preaching a doctrine same as Paul, but to stress the point that our faith is not a dead faith, but it is a living faith. How wonderful. Of course it's a living faith. If it's a dead faith, how can you call it to be faith? And here we have two examples brought by James. Isn't Abraham a living faith? What greater test of a man's faith can it be? That God will say, you give me your son and offer him as a sacrifice for me, your one and only son that I have given that great numbers, that the sons of the sea will be born. Abraham received the word of God in complete 100% obedience because he loves God more than his son. And that is what should be our faith. We must love God, number one, above our wife, above our fiancé, above our parents. And he was prepared. Although we may realize the heartaches in him, naturally, the tussle between the flesh and the spirit. One lesson we learn from Abraham's obedient faith to God is that he did not tell his wife. If God wants you to do something that your wife may hinder, you should not tell it. How do we know? The Bible says that early in the morning, he got hold of two young men, his servants, asses, and Isaac, prepared the wood, the fire, and the knife. And they left without even saying goodbye to the wife. Early in the morning, maybe just about 5:30, they were off. Do you love God like Abraham? What a living faith. And it goes on to quote Rahab, that Rahab saved the two spies. And then there are certain interpretations from Rahab that since she told a lie, that she misled the Gestapo of the Jericho, so that they were misled. In this way, Rahab saved the two Hebrew spies. Does the Bible say that it's all right to tell lies when you're trying to save a life in wartime and all that? Let us turn to Matthew 10, verse 20, verse 19 to 20. Verse 19 and 20 of Matthew 10. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. In the case of Rahab, she had been just only a believer for maybe a few weeks. She doesn't have a Bible. She doesn't have all the instruction you receive in the church. She did her best. And what is commended is her heart was on God's side. Let me tell you that God will give you the grace and the wisdom to speak when you are overwhelmed by oppression. And these words I heard from Mayor Burgomaster Wana, Dutch. Burgomaster is a mayor of a small town. Now when the Germans occupied the territories of the conquered nations, they were very wise. They used all the police officers, they used all the government officers to continue the administration under them, to save them and to help them. And Burgomaster Wana, who was the General Secretary of the ICCC, International Council of Christian Churches, to which I belong for over 50 years, and have found a great profit in knowing the truth. When the German Gestapo came in with the machine guns, we have come to search the Jews that are harbored in this house. But Burgomaster Wagner had already prepared to speak when such an event happens. At once, he lost his temper, banged the table. "Why do you come and disturb me at 2 o'clock in the morning?" And he gave off such a righteous indignation that the Gestapo withdrew. And he had over 10 Jews hiding in the house. There is no duty for him to tell the enemy, but God teaches him the wisdom to lose his temper righteously. "Why do you come and disturb my sleep?" And the Gestapo left. And the 10 or so Jews in his house were not discovered. They were saved. Sometimes it's very easy for us to make certain conclusions. Since this is done, we'll follow. But Rahab was not commended for her telling the lies. She was commended for her taking the side of God's people. And that's what we should be. Are they in the right track? I follow. If they are on the wrong track, I will withdraw. We must always be on God's side. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but for the truth. Now, what is James talking about? We look at the same text again. Let us look at it. The main point. Many times we miss the main point and we go into the sub point. But here in James chapter 2, the main point is, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and some of you say unto them, "Depart in peace, be ye warm and filled," notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What is a prophet? This is a very simple case of a brother in the Lord or a sister in the Lord, and they have fallen into trouble, into sickness, into whatever unhappy event, and they come to seek the help and you said, go home, be warm, be filled, and come again. This is actually quoting from Proverbs chapter 3. Let us all turn to Proverbs chapter 3, the exact quotation by James. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27, to teach us as Christians, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. We owe them to do good, to help them. Any brother or sister in the Lord, members of the same church, and who come to you privately for help, and you don't say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give. The very fact that you say, come tomorrow, is a cunning way of escaping your duty. A Chinese preacher at the Chinese service gave us a very good illustration. So this sister had to go to hospital. And a long line of brothers and sisters come and pray, saying many pious words. But the last person did not pray. He gave her an envelope, and inside $100. What do you think? Whose prayer was heard the most? I'd like to commend members of Life Church for their giving. This is a statement made by many people from outside. One of the economical ministries of the church is the starting of a mercy fund in order to help those that are out of job, or sick, or in trouble in any way. And I want to tell you that we have gathered a treasure. It is not here or here. It's a treasure here. Charlie Chan. Well, I think he will be able to tell me that members of the church have given, I believe, nearly $30,000. And this is the mercy fund for the mercy ministry when the session of the church knows certain people are out of job or sick or in trouble, we will help out. And I know that sums ranging from 1,000 to 3,000 or 4,000 have been given out of this fund to help members who are sick or in trouble. Well, not only that, I have seen offerings that are designated also for a widow of the church when the husband has passed away maybe for 2 or 3 years. But then we have read about David Koo, a Cambodian missionary, a Korean, and how he has made such a grandiose plan that oversees our estimation by at least 200,000. US dollars. And yet members have not left him high and dry, but they have liberally given 2,000, 500, 1,000 to help him cross the Red Sea. The Red Sea is a sea of red ink, owing so much money. But also there is a brother and a sister who have given him 50,000. This is living faith. Not like James quoting from Proverbs 3:27-28, which is a dead faith. And they were not in need of too much money, just only the daily food and clothing. But they all perhaps said long prayers, like those who went to see the sick sister I mentioned. But the last person did not do any, did not pray anything, but just gave him an envelope, and inside there was some money to help him. I believe of that queue of prayers, many more could have done something to help her entirely out of her predicament. This is James restating Paul's affirmation about the just shall live by faith, but not by a dead faith, but a living faith. And the two examples highest are Abraham offering Isaac and Rahab saving the two spies. Let us pray. Oh Lord, help us as we go through this Bible camp. And the messages are sent by Thee through Thy servants. Help him to live what he preaches, and also be an example that we may follow after Thee more closely in these last days. And once again we thank Thee for saving us from SARS and restoring Singapore again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.